We have been talking about how God tests us. And he does that, doesn't he? You know? We've found out that every day is a test, and sometimes we pass. Sometimes we don't do so well. And the good thing and the bad thing about God's tests is when you pass them, you've learned something. And the good thing also is when you don't pass them, you get to take them over. And another good thing is it's an open book test. We have the Bible. It's wide open. So when we're taking our tests through life, it's good to have our Bible open. It's good to be looking for the answers before the test comes, right? It's hilarious up at the college watching the college kids. You know, they'll be pretty relaxed that first 2 or 3, 4 weeks, you know, of each semester. And then pop quiz or a test or this, that. And man, they just get really, really serious. They go from like whatever to, oh my goodness, I need these answers. And it's kind of fun to watch that. It's kind of fun to get to know which professors are really evil and which are human. Some of them, you know, they give a test. It's like, where were the answers? Don't know. But that happens. With God, that doesn't happen. He gives us the answers, right? So, you know, we're going to look at the heart test. How many of you are ready to take a heart test? Yeah, I'll tell you what, heart tests aren't really, really fun. And the thing is we looked at emotions last week, okay? How we need to trust God with our emotions, because life tests us, and our emotions are usually reacts, and we need to run our emotions. They cannot run us. So this week, we're going to look at what those emotions do to us if they run us or if they don't run us. If our emotions run us, our heart gets full of the wrong things. You know, if our emotions run us, for example, if our emotions turn into unforgiveness, okay, it fills our heart with bitterness. If our emotions, you know, if fear, you know, just gets a hold of us, okay, our hearts are full of cowardice. If our emotions of hopelessness, if they get a hold of us, if they run us, okay, it fills our hearts with depression and failure. So you see, it's very, very important when God tests our emotions to realize that we need to pass that test, because whatever happens there fills our heart. So we need to run our emotions. We need to run our mind, because our mind is a direct conduit to our heart. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced anxiety. Anxiety does not start with your heart, but it affects your heart. Anxiety starts up in your mind. It starts with all kinds of things. And what happens is your heart races. I don't know how many of you have ever, you know, just put yourself on a heart monitor and got yourself all excited and watch it go up, and then just kind of relax and think about things and let your heart, you know, just relax and go down. Yeah, it's amazing what our thoughts can do, what our thoughts can do to our heart. And so we need to be aware of what's going on. Heart tests are not always fun. I mean, the physical ones are not, EKG, they're not so bad. They just stick a bunch of things on you, you know. What's bad is when they stick all those things on you and they say, okay, now you got to get up and get on a treadmill. That's not fun, especially, you know, if we're not in very good shape. Our heart tests find out what's wrong. What's wrong, right? And that's what God is doing spiritually to us. He's finding out what's wrong and what's right with our heart. And he's letting us know so that we can deal with it. See, we need to trust God with our heart, because if we feed our mind with the right stuff, if we exercise ourselves with spiritual discipline, if we trust God with our hearts, then our lives go much, much better. There's two reasons I want to look at this morning for us to trust in God with our hearts. First of all, our heart is the wellspring of life. Physically and spiritually, our heart is kind of the center of everything that goes on in our body. Without a healthy heart, you can't have a healthy brain, you can't have healthy lungs, you can't have healthy muscles. Now, I realize that, you know, our body is all dependent upon all of those functions. Just like God has given us all of the illustrations in the Bible of how the body of Christ is dependent upon all the parts of the body, okay? But the heart is so central. The heart is so important to what goes on in our life. It is the wellspring of life, okay? In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Above all else, guard your heart. Now think about that. Above all else, guard your heart. That's how important it is we're supposed to put the condition of our heart spiritually first. We're supposed to realize that when we process thoughts, when we store thoughts, we have to process those thoughts in a frame that honors God. Because that's where we store things. Like we're talking, our bad emotions, when we have our bad emotions, it stores, you know, bitterness or unforgiveness or fear or anxiety or whatever. It stores that in our heart. And when something happens, what happens? It doesn't go well if we're storing the wrong things in there. It is the wellspring of life. The wellspring. I just love when I'm backpacking up in the mountains, I just love to find a spring. You know, one that's just coming right out of the ground. It is like the most incredible water. And God says your heart can be that incredible. It can be pure. It can be faultless. It can be all of these things. But you need to pay attention to the Word of God. You need to pay attention to what God's telling you. You need to pay attention to what's going on in your life, because everything that happens in our life to some degree is a test. Every day, it's a test. God's saying, well, let's just see where their heart's at. And God wants us to know where our heart's at so that we can make those adjustments with it. You see, it's where we store up. It's how we act. It's how we act. It's the wellspring of life. It's what comes out of us. I mean, if you're hiking down a trail and you see this really super pure water coming out and it's cold and you know that, hey, other people have drank here and it's really good stuff. Nobody's ever got sick. It's amazing. On the other hand, if you're going down a trail and there's this green ooze coming out of the ground, or brown ooze, chances are you're not going to stop there and drink it. Especially if somebody that you know was dumb enough to drink it and they almost died. You see, when brown ooze starts coming out of our hearts, it means that there's something deep inside there that's not right. And God says, we can take care of that. We can take care of that. You see, Luke 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Yee. Boy, I tell you what, I had a couple of checks this week. And my lovely spirit-filled wife, she says, "Really?" That's all she's got to say, you know. Really? You know, I mean, things happen, you know. Somebody does something. Somebody pulls out in front of you. You know, something happens and you say something. And you know, the Holy Spirit should be the first voice I hear. But a lot of times, fortunately, I have an assistant to the Holy Spirit in my life. And if I don't hear him, he's really good about making sure that she does, or you do, or my friends. See, years ago, when I was a police officer, and Steve was a police officer, so he understands this, it's really hard to be a police officer and maintain vocabulary that is civil. And the reason being, the primary, now, I'm not making any excuses, but here's one of the reasons. It's like when somebody's coming at you with a knife, gun, a club, you know, whatever, it's really hard to say, "Excuse me, sir, would you please be so kind as to put that down?" Usually it's like, "Hey, you put that down, I'm going to blow your head off," you know, okay? You get a little excited and stuff. Well, my vocabulary got really, really bad, and, you know, I was not really a practicing Christian. I was an attending Christian this time. I was attending a church. God was trying to get my attention, and he got it. And God was working on me. I had another friend, brother in the Lord, who was also in law enforcement, and we made a pact that we were going to clean it up because our language was getting very, very bad. Because we realized that out of the heart comes this stuff. Okay? And I was really struggling. Really, really struggling. And so I really, one night, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I want my vocabulary, I want my language to be pure. I want you to change the inside of me so the outside, so whatever comes out is different. And the next morning, we had a guy who was a police officer, and I've only known him and one other person that had language this bad. These two guys were, and I mean, I've worked construction and pipeline and oil, and I mean, you know, and so this guy had really bad language, and we were having, you know, coffee. We ran an early shift. We stopped for coffee. We're having coffee. I don't think we're having donuts. It was a rare occasion. Anyway, we're having coffee, and he looks over at me out of the blue, and he says, you know, you have a filthy mouth. And I hadn't even cussed that morning. I mean, I was really being quiet. And this guy looks at me, the filthiest mouth guy, maybe the first or second filthiest mouth guy in my world, looks at me and says, you have got a filthy mouth. You need to clean it up. You want to know something? Usually I would have got mad, but it broke my heart because I had prayed for God to do something. And I'll tell you what, it broke my heart. I thought, if the filthiest boy mouth man in the world thinks I have a filthy mouth, I need to get it right. And it really, God did something really deep inside. And that's what God does. God doesn't start with our mouth. You know, our mouth starts the prayer, okay? And then God starts inside. And he sends some of the most unlikely circumstances or people into our life to help us out. And I was just like, I came home. You remember, I came home. I couldn't hardly function. I was messed up. I was like, he thinks I have a filthy mouth. I mean, I thought I was a Sunday school teacher compared to this guy, and he thinks I have a filthy. And it really changed me from that point on. And every time, you know, things start getting a little loose, I think about that, and my heart goes, you know? God does a little bit of an adjustment there. God can do that. The good things that a man brings, good things out of the good stored in his heart. And the evil brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. We have the choice to store up wisely or foolishly. You know, and it's easy to store up foolishly. All you got to do is just hang out in the world, right? But to store things up wisely, we got to spend some time with God. We gotta be in our word. We gotta be in fellowship with other believers. We have to be where we get good stuff. Whether that's in our quiet time, in our ladies' studies, or our men's studies, or in our friendships, we have to be where we store up good stuff. You see, we need to trust God in helping us store wisely. I don't know about you, but when I'm left to my own resources, I can store up very, very unwisely. And I can prove that. I can prove that. Spiritually and physically. Do not come and look in my garage. I have stored up unwisely. And I look at that and everything, you know, I need to do something about that. And then I kind of rearrange it and stuff. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to do something about that. And then, you know, and honestly, I really do need to do something about it. And you know, it's a reminder that if I'm not careful about what I store up inside of me, I could end up with a whole garage full of stuff inside of me. You know, some of it's kind of useful, but it's really heavy to pack around all the time. You know, I mean, who doesn't need, you know, miles and miles and miles and miles of plastic tubing? Who knows? You know, yeah, might need it. If anybody needs miles and miles and miles of plastic, just let me know. Well, maybe not miles, maybe half a mile. Okay? But you see, we can store up things so unwisely if we're not careful in our heart, just like we can in our life. Okay? That drawer, that closet, that room, that storage shed. You know, I know a guy who does not have a junk drawer. I really question his humanity. Who doesn't have a junk drawer? I mean, I got a junk drawer in my camper, for crying out loud. And, you know, but anyway, our junk drawer can get overwhelmed in our heart if we're not careful. When we spend time with God, when we spend time in the Bible, that's where we start storing things wisely. You see, out of heaven's storehouse, we start storing words and actions within us that come out and bring glory to God. We really do. We really do. I know that all of you, you know, you've been in the Word, and you've been in the Word, and you've got a scripture, and within hours, God uses that. He uses what He's given you. He's given you something very, very special. Every morning, every day, He gives us something very, very special. I end the day reading His Word, and I sleep so much better. Because it just helps me wind down. It helps me put my perspective, you know, where God needs it. And that perspective is, He's going to handle it. He's going to handle it. God wants to store up things in our heart that are so precious and so amazing that people line up to get it. Literally line up to get it. When we come into relationship with God through Christ, we give Him control of our hearts. You know, when we make that first decision, we say, hey, you want to give your heart to Jesus? How many times have you heard that? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Because when we have given Jesus everything we are in our heart, He owns us. We're His. He paid for that opportunity for us to come to Him and to surrender to Him, to surrender our heart. You see, the wonderful thing about God is He works on our heart as we go through life. He doesn't just say, okay, it's got to change right now. I remember one time I had been not a very good teenager, and my dad came into my room and he said, this is going to change right now. And it kind of scared me, but at the same time I'm thinking, yeah, right. You know, and so many times we think that that's kind of the way God is. God says, no, it needs to change over a period of time. It needs to change. God is in the process of doing heart surgery on us as we walk out. He's not like a regular heart surgeon, you know, that knocks us out, you know, pins us down. Although one time there was a mechanic was talking to a heart surgeon. I don't know if you ever heard this story. This mechanic says to this heart surgeon, he says, you know, I don't know why you guys get paid so much. The heart surgeon's like, excuse me? He said, well, it's not a whole lot different being a mechanic. He says, I can take a car all the way apart and put it all the way together again. You know, I mean, look what you do. And the heart surgeon looks at him, he says, try doing it when the engine's running. And you see, God not only does it when our flesh is running, He does it as our spirit runs. He does it as our mental processes are all functioning. As our whole life is going on, God says, oh, I'm in the process of changing your heart. And He uses circumstances, and He uses emotions, and He uses people, and He uses angels, and He uses demons, and He uses powers and principalities, and He uses everything in the created, known and unknown universe to change our heart, to bring glory to Him and be more like Jesus Christ. And He does it every second of every day that we breathe. And that's our God. He's so amazing. He's so amazing. You see, Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, God shows us His plan that is going on right now. He showed this plan thousands of years ago, okay, to the Israelites through a prophet, through Ezekiel, and it says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I can just see God grabbing us with a brush and the Holy Spirit water and just go, okay, there you go. Have you ever felt like you've just been scrubbed all over with the Holy Spirit and you kind of tingle a little bit and you're a little sore all at the same time? See, God says, I will do this. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your impurities. Not just some of them, all of them. And from all of your idols. Those little idols in our life that keep popping up. Things that try to be more important than God. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Whoa. God says, I'm going to give you living water. It's going to clean you up. I'm going to give you the living water of the Holy Spirit, and He is going to clean you up. I'm going to take out of your being that heart of stone, that heart that is impenetrable, that heart that it's so hard it's barely beating, it barely has any life in it at all. It's so miserable, it's cold, and it's dark. And God says, I'm going to take that heart of stone out of you, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And a lot of people are like, whoa, is this carnal? No. God is talking about the original creation of man, how he created us to be in the likeness of God. God says, I'm going to give you a heart that is cleansed. I'm going to give you a heart that has the original imprint, the original DNA of God in it. A heart that is so close to me, that is beating so close to me that it literally feels me within them. God says, I'm going to give you that heart back, that heart that Adam lost when he sinned, that heart that was lost when people were removed from the relationship of God. God says, through Jesus Christ, I give you clean water, the Holy Spirit. I give you a heart that is now my heart, a living, pumping, vibrant heart, a heart that is pumping, literally pumping the blood of Jesus through our veins. God says, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you this so that the heart of Jesus beats inside of you. Whoa. That's kind of awesome, isn't it? It's also kind of overwhelming. The heart of Jesus beating inside of us so that we can store up all of those things that God has for us. You know, God says, okay, I want you to store up some patience because stuff's coming. God says, I want you to store up some strength because stuff's coming. I want you to store up some joy because you might have to send some joy to somebody else's life. I'm gonna let you store up some hope. I'm going to let you store up some humility and some grace in your heart so that when your heart pumps and when life happens, hope and joy and peace and kindness, long-suffering, patience, grace, all of these things come out instead of all that other stuff. God says, I want you to store this up. I want you to store up the very essence of who Christ is within your heart. You know, this morning we sang for worship. We're going to do it again. Create in me a clean heart. And I want that to be our prayer as we end the word this morning. That God, you take my heart and you would make me realize how important it is for me to surrender my heart to you. How important it is for my heart, Lord, to be yours. David wrote this psalm shortly after he got in trouble with God. Just a little bit, right? You know, Nathan comes and he says, hey, David, there's this guy. And he had all these sheep. And this king took his only sheep from this poor guy and he slaughtered. And David said, that guy's terrible. And Nathan said, that guy's you. You're a murderer and an adulterer. And it broke David's heart. And he wrote this. And after that, we see David's life change. He's not quite so cocky. And a lot of psalms get written before, but a lot of psalms get written after this psalm in David's life. And they're the psalms of, you know, Lord, I just want to be close to you. I just want you to own my heart. Keith Green wrote this song back in the late 60s, early 70s. It's a song that just keeps coming back. It just won't go away because it's the literal words of God speaking out of our lips and into our hearts.